Welcome back to Head Games Radio. You ever wondered about the difference in playing surfaces? Statistics show that Tom Brady, as good as he has been in New England when it had a grass field, that on indoor fields, on artificial turf, he's almost impeccable. He's almost unbeatable. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots figured, you know, in terms of consistency in those late season games, let's give Tom that edge, so they put in that new field. We talked to Morten Andersen about the snow that Josh Brown, the kicker for Seattle, that Matt Hasselbeck, that Sean Alexander, and all the players with Seattle have to deal with. They're getting 3 to 6 more inches tonight. I talked to John Clayton before the show. We hope to have him on tomorrow's show to talk about how they deal with all this rain. I think they've had 15 inches of rain in Seattle this month when it's normally about 5 inches. So we talked to Morten Andersen about what a kicker does in terms of being able to be consistent in bad weather conditions. And it sometimes comes down to making sure you have the right kind of cleats. It's also about how you stay on top of your feet. And some players tend to be more heavy-footed, and that causes some problems.
Well, you just eliminate the elements as much as you can from your mind, and you just take control of what you can control, which is your effort and ability and the way you come to the ball. Now, I come into the ball kind of forcefully, so a snowy, slippery field, which I guess it wasn't that slippery last night, but I mean, if it is a slippery field, that's not to my advantage, certainly. But Josh is not a 6'2", 230-pound guy either, so he may be able to plant a little more gingerly, but he just looks to me like he has a lot of confidence, and he delivers the ball to the target. He gets his plant foot out and away from the ball nicely, I think, and it just looks like he's in a pretty good groove right now, and there's nothing to cure any ills like a game winner, like you said, and or several of them. And so he's playing with confidence, and that's really, 80-90% of what we do anyway.
Of course, there's
the coach. One of the last times we were on, we had Adam Vinatieri, who's not missed an extra point or a field goal for Indianapolis, and I can't help thinking that New England made a huge mistake by letting him go, just the way they let you and I go back in the day. But, I mean, Adam Vinatieri is, I think he's missed 2 field goals this year. He missed a couple up in New England, but other than that, he's had a great year. And then Mike Vanderjack. What has happened to Mike Vanderjack? Who would ever have imagined that the Dallas Cowboys would let go of a guy that has a career 87%? As I talked with John Clayton this morning, I told him that my belief is it is 100% a problem with his mind. That Mike Vanderjack, before that major miskick in the playoffs for Indianapolis that cost them a chance at the Super Bowl, that he was somewhere else. And what happens is, this is a great sign of psychology itself that Morten Andersen has mastered, I think, better than many, is you get to the point where you can, if you're not careful, start asking yourself, if I've made 100 in a row, if I miss this, won't it be a big choke? Literally, you focus on what-ifs rather than what are the routines and the disciplines that I already have. Mike Vanderjack is just not coming through the ball. If you play golf, you know what I'm talking about. You pick up your head early. You don't follow through. The second you pick up your head in golf and the second you pick up your head as a kicker, you're dead. Your follow-through stops. You don't come across the body. And it's interesting how about 20 of the kickers in the NFL right now, with parity at an all-time high, with so many teams, especially in the NFC, at 5-6 and 6-5, that teams that don't have kickers that they can depend on, like the Redskins with Nick Novak, who's clearly developed some form problems, some technique problems, that they aren't taking the time, enough time, to have the right people to coach those kickers that mean the difference, that provide the margin of success or failure. And speaking of the margin of success or failure, we have a guy who covers the NBA and who studies those margins all the time, in Rick Bucher. He's going to be coming on in just a second. We talked about the Orlando Magic on an earlier show 2 weeks ago. Here's Rick Bucher.
Ray is working against the Denver Nuggets right now, though, because Melo's emergence or re-emergence raised the expectations of what they were going to be this year, and that has not happened so far. And I'm already hearing rumblings that there are guys that don't like their roles in Denver, who want to be moved elsewhere. We're talking about, what, the second week in the season? That's never, never a good sign. So it'll be interesting. But Melo's emergence and their slow start is certainly putting pressure on Coach George Karl to figure this out in a hurry. Because
that's Rick Bucher talking about Denver, and we led from that to talking about Orlando and the similarity of the higher expectations on a Dwight Howard. With me is a guy who's a young father, just got back from swimming practice with his very young son. Rick Bucher, how are you?
I'm doing well. You, Nick?
I'm doing great, and I love the fact that you're being your own coach there in the pool. How's the young man doing?
He's extraordinary. He's got an older sister. He's two. He's got an older sister who's 3.5, and so he wants to do everything she can do, and she's a little fish like her mama. So we got two little we got a merman and a mermaid on our hands. They're just waiting to get on the surfboard.
Well, let's go over what's happening with Orlando, with Dwight Howard and just a team that seems to be finding itself. And you talked also about Grant Hill. We got a quote from you from that show a few weeks ago about right. him as well, a guy that was given so much money, could have taken a television contract in a heartbeat. Instead, yep. he's shown so much character and commitment to that yep. team.
Yeah, it's we applaud a lot of guys for a lot of amazing things, and sometimes the best stories go under the radar because the particular player is not in the limelight, may not be leading the league in scoring. But you look at Grant Hill, he gets paid no matter what. And the arduous effort that he had to make to come back, not to be a superstar anymore, but simply to be a functional player, a contributing player, really reflects the love for the game. It's easy for all of us to say, well, you know what, he should play hard. He should train to get back from injuries because look at all the money he's making. The reality is, how many people who win the lottery, essentially they quit their job or they decide, you know what, I don't want to work anymore. Well, Grant Hill is the type of guy who essentially won the lottery, had absolutely no reason to continue working, and he did it strictly, worked his way through the type of injuries that a lot of us would never dream of trying to come back and play on the NBA level through. He did exactly that, and so for all of the success stories that you might find in the NBA, for me, a guy like Grant Hill, who has persevered simply to come back and play and contribute, not necessarily win a ring, I don't know that Orlando's going to do that, but simply to come back and play and on some level earn his money, to me, that's as admirable as it gets.
Tell me more about Dwight Howard and the fact that he's becoming an emerging factor. And it's a young season. Yep. So many teams, especially the good ones, like Miami and the Suns, are barely 500. But some teams have really shown a lot. Orlando is one of them. Tell us about Dwight Howard in particular.
The World Championships in Japan can often, or any sort of off-season international play often has a very negative effect on players because Elton Brand might be an example of that. They lose their confidence. They're sort of exposed as players, as being NBA-oriented players. Well, Dwight Howard is none of that. He went there really just happy to be making the team. And by practicing with Carmelo and LeBron and Dwayne Wade and playing internationally and outplaying the Elton Brands and the Chris Bosches, he realized, I'm as good as any of these guys. And so his expectation of himself and his confidence took a huge leap, and we're seeing that now for the Orlando Magic.
Okay, when we come back, Rick, if you can stay with us for five more minutes, we're just going to go into a little bit more about some of those other teams like the Mavericks, San Antonio, the teams you cover on the NBA. It's NBA time with Rick Bucher from ESPN, the magazine senior writer. We'll be right back on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Satellite Channel 122.